God's good, amen? Somebody can say all the time. Chapter 3, the book of Daniel, I'm going to go down to verse number 14. Book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse number 14. We pick up the story here of Nebuchadnezzar. He had made an image of himself, wanted everybody to bow down before him, or before that image. And of course, we find that there were three Hebrews that did not do that, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And beginning verse number 14, it says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, they'd been brought to him, we find verse 13, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at the time, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Let's stop right there and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the marvelous privilege to be able to open the Word of God. We pray for your blessing. We pray for the power and the strength of the Spirit of God to move upon hearts. We really, Lord, without you, we are nothing. Without your voice, without the Spirit of God moving within our hearts, it cannot happen. So, God, I pray that you would work in hearts today. Perhaps one who is hearing this today needs you as your Savior. Lord, it might be a day they cry out to you and receive you. No doubt there are amongst your people those who have some very specific needs, some of them spiritual, some of them physical, some of them perhaps emotional. And Lord, we might realize that all of our need can be met in you. So Lord, I pray that you would bless in these moments, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I find Daniel to be one of the most outstanding yet misunderstood book of the entire Bible. Now think about it for a moment. We find it has in chapter number 1 an account of refusal to follow the king's orders about what they were to eat and their subsequent win for right. We find that the basic revelation of the history of man is given to us in the vision of Nebuchadnezzar that Daniel interprets for him in chapter 3. Of course, here in this chapter, we find the three Hebrew children who stand up and say, hey, we're not going to worship that which is not God. If you go to chapter 4, you would find that Nebuchadnezzar is put out into the field, and for 7 years, he wanders around like a common animal as God humbles him. You go to chapter 5 and you find the demise of Babylon, the great empire, and the rise of the Medes and Persians. In chapter 6, very familiar with so many, is that of Daniel in the lion's den. The text that's before us, I believe, shows forth courage in the face of the foe. It shows a stubborn faith in God, no matter the outcome. Go to verse number 17 and 18, for within these two verses lie the title of our message this morning, but moreover the truth that is so marvelous projected here. It says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Notice what it says in verse number 17. If it be so. Then notice in verse 18. But if not. If it be so, but if not. We find some remarkable thoughts here as we look and we see that these three Hebrews put God first in their lives, and no matter what took place, they were going to accept His will. There's another phrase that we find within that. It says that He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now they knew that if they went to the furnace and they died, the king would have no more control over them. And so sometimes we look and we say, my goodness, the people are, they're being martyred. No, they're being taken to the presence of Jesus. The other side of that is, if that is not the way God is going to do it, God's going to deliver him out of his hand. They're saying to Nebuchadnezzar, you're not who you think you are. We have a great and marvelous God. No wonder he's full of fury, because they have just said to him that he's not who he thinks he is. And we notice these folks, these three Hebrews, they had a courage in the face of danger. A courage that comes, I believe, from a deep belief that are the results of a walk with the Lord. Listen, that deep belief we sometimes call faith. Faith. What's going to get us through life? Faith. And we must believe God. From this, I believe we can make some simple and yet some profound deductions as we consider this thing of faith. First of all, I'd like us to think about this. As we look at these three Hebrews children, in the face of the most powerful man upon the face of the earth at the time, their faith did not foster within them a fear. They were not afraid. They had God. After some victory by David, or perhaps it was after the rebuilding of the temple, we find recorded in Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? When we recognize God be with us, what in the world can others do to us? I find it interesting that Gideon, not wanting any sissies in his army. You know, we got a lot of sissies today. For you who don't know what that means, that's an old word talking about a guy who has girlish tendencies. Well, that's going to bring some rebuttal. And a guy who's just not manly, a guy who gets scared of everything, and not wanting those kind in the army, we find Gideon was instructed to send them home. They were to go back home. If I remember correctly, he had 30,000 men ready to go to battle against the Midianites. And God says, if they're scared, send them home. 22,000 returned. You know what that meant? Two out of every three left. And there he was with approximately 10,000 men. And though it took a little persuasion, Gideon believed God. And he had no room for those who didn't believe him. You know, we find some truth in the Word of God that God's people are to be separated, separated from the things of the world. And I believe here's a reason why. And that is not just so we can be away from sin, but we might not have the influences of sin when it comes to the matter of faith. And so all of those who were fearful, which is not faith, Gideon said, go home. Listen, if you're walking with God, you don't want anyone around that wants to go in another direction. You need somebody that is believing what you believe. That is a great need in our hour. You know, sometimes things don't work right. I can't get my page to turn. Faith, we find, marches forward. Fear looks down. Faith is going onward. Fear is going backwards. And the times that we live in is not a time to surround ourselves with fear-mongers like much of the news media, but to see ahead, to listen to God's calming voice and tell the enemy, you're not bowing down to him. I'm not going to be afraid. Listen, that doesn't mean we don't take measures that are healthful and helpful in our lives. That doesn't mean we get sick, we don't take some medicine, but it does mean we don't have to be fearful in the midst of it. Do you understand that having the right attitude will take you through a lot of things that will not otherwise? When I lay in the hospital 3 years ago, they brought in at one point a psychologist because they were afraid I'd get to the spot, I'd be discouraged and be depressed. And quite frankly, the one they brought in was depressing. And finally, I shook the head and left because really I wasn't depressed. It might sound strange, but I was excited to see how God was moving and working in things as I lay in that hospital bed. And they said, that's a great time to get discouraged, and so many do. Listen, the best way out of situations is not look at the sickness, not look at the problem, but to look to God. Look away from where you're at and go forward. It is a necessary thing. Let me give you an illustration. I've used it a number of times, but years ago, we took our young folks to a competition. And in that competition, the boys, they had one event that was with weights. And so one of those was to do a squat lift. In other words, put a barbell on the shoulders, then they kneeled down as far as I'm going, and then they would come back up. And so one of our young men was there. He was practicing, and pretty soon this fellow walked over. We were at a YMCA. And this fellow walked over, and for some reason, he took a real interest in him. And he said, listen, let me give you a few tips. First of all, he said, here, take this belt. He had a big old wide belt. He says, put that around you so that when you go down, it's going to put pressure on you and keep you from exploding, I guess. And then he said, I want to give you another piece of advice. And as he's standing there, he says, and there was mirrors in front of it. You ever notice that weightlifters like to do it in front of mirrors? Yeah. I find that hilarious, really. Anyways, he said to him, now look at the crack up where the ceiling and the wall meet together at. Look at that little crease right there. He said, now don't take your eyes off that. He says, when you're going down, keep your eyes on that. And when you're coming up, keep your eyes on that. And he said, why? He said, you're more likely to get there if you're looking at it. You're more likely to get up if you have your eyes in the right place. And so we understand something. Faith is what, looking forward. Fear looks down. And we certainly need faith, not only in times like we're experiencing in our country and around the world, but really throughout life. Secondly, I let us think about this, and it might sound a little strange to you, but faith may put you in the furnace. Did you hear that? Faith may put you in the furnace. Actually, the Lord foretold that we would meet with the wrath of the enemy. If you've been saved very long and you've talked about the Lord, you have found people that objected to your message. And if you said it very often, especially in the work world, they will be two or three or four, they get together and they will ridicule you. And they might call you preacher. They might have many different names for you. Some parts of our world, even to this day, men and women are dying for their faith. And we understand faith might put us in the prison. In John chapter 15, verse 18, he says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have not kept, or if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken of them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. The Lord's telling us, hey, you believe in me, you believe in telling people about me, you believe in being a witness, and you're going to meet up with opposition. And that opposition might come in the form of a furnace, as it did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Some folks, they would say, well, you know, if you're saved, everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be all right. You're going to be rich. You're going to be prosperous. And all these things. And listen, I believe in the prosperity gospel in this aspect. I can be rich in the Lord, and I'm not talking about money. I can be rich in the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit of God. We're not talking about finances. We're talking about our very being. Now, the disciples, they understood this. They understood what their faith might bring. Most of them died a martyr's death. Paul was beheaded by Nero. Peter, we find, was hung upside down on a cross. Andrew was also crucified. Thomas is said to have been pierced through with spears from four different soldiers. Matthew, we find, was stabbed to death. James was stoned. Andrew was burnt. And that list continues on until this very day. Furnace faith is a testimonial to those about you. That kind of faith speaks to others. Let's get right down to it. If you are living in fear of a virus that has infected a relatively small amount of the population, and of those, less than 1% die, then how in the world will you ever live with what could be worse? Listen to these words of Jeremiah. He says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they've wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? You see, the Lord's trying to tell us something. And that is, faith is not just when things are going well. Matter of fact, it shows its face most vividly when things are not going well. Do you understand that right now, as people are tucked away in their homes and they don't go here, they don't go there, that they are hungry for fellowship from somebody, and you have somebody you can call and talk to about the Lord? You have an opportunity that you normally don't have. I mean, it's a marvelous time. And listen, you might be sick on the flat of your back, but you know what? You have nurses that are coming to your room, and you can talk to them about Jesus. You have doctors that come, talk to a doctor. They need Jesus too. And you have people who are round about, no matter what the circumstance, let God use that. Oh, you might be in a furnace, but furnace faith is a testimony to those about us. And another thought I'd like for us to consider, faith comes before God's deliverance. Faith comes before God's deliverance. Now, there's a lot of people, they want God or want to tempt God to deliver them. And they will make a deal with God and say, God, if you deliver me, I will do this for you. Rather than believe he can and leave it up to him as the best way to do it, they seek to command God to be their little genie, their Santa Claus, to get them out of trouble. Listen, it's not about wanting somebody in that regard. It's understanding that we have a great God who wants to deliver, and we're just simply saying, God, I need you. This is initially true with salvation. Do you realize that salvation only comes after faith? Salvation is available before, but it is not operational until afterwards. If you're hearing the sound of my voice and you understand that your sin is taking you to an everlasting hell, understand this. Jesus died for you. See, why did he die for me? The wages of sin is death. That's why we get separated from body and get separated from God. But he died for us, that if we would believe that, I mean believe that sincerely and wholly, God will save us. He will save us. Somebody said to me one time, where's hell? Do you know where hell is? It's one heartbeat away. It's one heartbeat away. When your heart beats its last beat, where will you be? Somebody said, well, where's heaven? Let me put it this way. It's one prayer ahead. It's one prayer. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why would you call? Because you believe that God wants to save you from your hell-deserving sin. And you would say something like this, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I need you. I need your salvation. I accept it with all of my heart. Thank you, O God, for doing it. You see, that's a prayer of faith. When we seek after him, it comes before God's deliverance. You won't be saved till then. Not until you believe God enough to ask him for it. My kids, even though they're grown and have families of their own, and probably true of my grandkids as well, they would be more likely to go to their grandma to get something than they would their grandpa. Why is that? They believe she's more gracious than me. I would say it's not true, but I'll have them all coming to me right after the service. See, because they believe of that grace, they would go ask her. If you believe of God's grace, you'll ask him. It's not automatically poured out to us. It's because we believe in him. I'm going to pray. And if you're listening or watching or present, you don't know Christ as your Savior. Would you realize your need? God can deliver you from an eternal hell if you put your trust in him. If you would pray that prayer of trust to him, God will hear it. He's not deaf. And when God hears that, he will answer it. Father, today, we thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you for men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who believed you so thoroughly that no matter what, whether in the furnace or out of the furnace, they were going to put you first. A faith that is so real and so sincere that nothing could shake them. Lord, I pray that that be true of everyone hearing the sound of this voice. And oh God, that you might work in hearts and bless. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. Normally at church we have invitation. And we ask people to come forward. Coming forward doesn't save anybody. It's a means by we can be able to help them. Generally get somebody to go with them and pray. If they need to be saved, help them with that. But if you're home today and you've heard this and realize I need Christ, you can pray right where you're at and get saved. I was in a classroom. Room 217, Liberal Arts Building, UNO. I got saved. You know your living room? It doesn't matter where. What matters is that you do. And here's what I'd like to ask you to do. If that is true, would you be willing, when you're done, to post that on my Facebook page or to send me a text? I would love to know that. And may God bless you. Have a great rest of the day.